Okay, I'll have to sit up there.
Thank you, Wyatt. Welcome, 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 everybody. Glad to see you here today. Couple of announcements, which we're going to get back to Sunday school. We haven't been doing Sunday school much, so I'm encouraging people next week. It's our day, starting back 9:30. So then we have Gleaners on Wednesdays, and be here by 10:55. They open the food up at 11 o'clock, and they say it doesn't take long, so... Also, if you know somebody that's in need of help with food, be sure and call. You can call the office or Sherry's number, although Sherry's supposed to be in the hospital right now, so that isn't good. But somebody would get food for you. I'm sure Mark had come down. So we would definitely help anybody that needs it. Prayer on Wednesdays, you do it right from home. With Zoom, or you can even just use your phone and connect with us. And if you go to our website, why, you click prayer meeting and you go right to it. So, great way to be praying for our fellow people here. And today is our potluck barbecue. So, yay! I wore my hamburger and my hot dog and mustard and ketchup. And she's got bees. So we're ready for a potluck. So I hope everybody stays and enjoys it. We have hamburgers and hot dogs and the barbecue grill. So we're ready. And women's retreat. It's kind of up in the air, but if anybody else is interested, be sure and see Donna. We don't know if we're going to have it. They don't know if they're going to have it or not. So it depends on the fires. Right now, everybody's evacuated from Camp White Ridge. So. Yes, the firefighters are staying there right now. So, which one year they were staying, they were camped out on by the hill thing while we were having our retreat. So, you never know. We'll just have to wait and see. They're going to let us know. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. There is so much going on, Lord, and we just know that... You're in control of all of it, the fires, everything. So we just ask that you let us just block out the world, Lord, and just concentrate on you for this time of worship, Lord. Be with us as we sing the songs that that we have for you, Lord, and let it just be music to your ears. And then we also lift up Pastor Teresa. We're just so thankful to have her back, Lord, and that she's healthy again. And we just pray as she shares today that you open our hearts and just absorb what you want us to hear. Thank you, Lord, for this facility, for this church that we have, that we can come and worship you. And we're just so thankful for all the blessings that you give us in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to our call to worship. And it is Revelation 15:4. Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Amen. Once again, we come to the house of the Lord.
Once again, we come to the house of God to unite in songs of praise, to extol with joy our Redeemer's name and to tell his works and ways. To the house of the Lord with rejoicing we come, for we know that we are thine. We will worship thee in the Bible way as the evening light doth shine. May our hearts, O Lord, e'er united be in true fellowship and love. May thy will be done by us here on earth as by angels host above. To thy house, O Lord, with rejoicing we come, for we know that thee are thine. We will worship thee in the Bible way as the evening light doth shine. May our prayers ascend as an incense sweet and our praise accepted be. As in gratitude all our hearts overflow in a tribute unto thee. To thy house, O Lord, with rejoicing we come, for we know that we are thine. We will worship thee in the Bible way as the evening light doth shine.
Yeah. Oh, how I love Jesus. This is an oldie.
There is a name I love to hear, love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. How I love to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood. just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and from sin and self to cease. Now from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me. He'll be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Good morning, church. And if you're joining us live on Facebook or later, remember there's Tithely where you can go and you can give as well, as the Lord has leaded you to do. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you give us, yeah? Yeah, absolutely. Nonetheless, us here together with each other in person and the opportunity to give back as he's commanded. Father, Lord, thank you for all you give us. Jobs, good co-workers, retirement, rehirement, homes, cars, purposes. Many things to put the finances of this world into, and yet the opportunity to try to outgive you. Let us give from what you've laid on our hearts and watch the blessings come as you always faithfully provide. Amen. Some of you do and some of you don't. I always, kind of in that putty pastor role, watch the live feed every Sunday while I'm in the pew so that people want to share. They can always share prayer requests, and then we can bring them up to the whole family here. And if everybody wants to have a little bit of fun, we do have one person who's live right now, and we could all just say, "Hi, Carolyn." 1, 2, 3. Hi, Carolyn. There we go. If there was more, we'd say hi to all of them. So, but anyway, my mom's there live today, not able to be with us, but watching and carrying along. And that's why we repeat stuff when you guys say it, so that whoever's online can hear as well. So now is the best time. I mean, I truly get fed, sister, by every time you bring a message. I do. That's why I take notes, and you know it. But this is like family time right now. All of us together, we get to share what's on our hearts and what we need prayer for. And I'll start by just giving you guys a little bit of our family update. We're all okay after the accident. Claire had a minor concussion, but that seems to be going away. You want to stand with me? Okay. And I might have a junior pastor. Who knows? But she's okay. Mild concussion, but she's had a good week at school and is back. We got her MRI results back. She was going to have a cranial MRI. Nothing came up negative. So that's a praise. Now the request is, can we find out what's causing the head pain and the tummy pain and all of that? The doctor is starting to look at, you know, things outside of necessarily physical, but maybe other causes. So continue to pray with us so that we can figure out what's causing that problem for her, so she can live more pain-free every day. So that's our update from us to you. Anybody else have a request or a praise they would like to share? The praise is, we made it through our first week teaching. I don't know how many teachers started a week early, but we did. So we made it through. Yeah. Anybody else? Prayer request or praise? Okay. So 9 months is not long. Yep. So praise from Judy's family, from her son Brad, her third son, if I remember right. His wife from Venezuela just got approved and is in a 9-month wait to get her green card. So she'll be able to reside here permanently. Yeah, exactly. It's always a good thing to be able to live with your spouse. I'm just saying. It's Debbie. Yeah, that was amazing. Okay, you know you're tired when in the middle of that, you lay down and fall asleep. So, I was tired last night, but what a show it was. Absolutely. I felt like it came right over our house. Anybody else feel like that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Claire didn't even know. She was out. Claire and Landon were already asleep and didn't even know it existed. So they're having a hard time believing us. There was a big thunderstorm last night. Anybody else, a prayer request or a praise to share with the body today? So prayer for Carolyn Marble. Like she's watching with us today on the live stream, but not able to be here because COVID has just wiped her out. It's going to take her a long time to bounce back. So prayer for her recovery from that. She has tested negative and is over it, but prayer for recovery. Wink. Wink is asking for prayer for his left eye. He's having a lot of difficulty with it right now, and so we'll lift up his vision in his right eye. I got that right. Right or left? No, left. Left. Sorry. There we go. Left eye. Okay. The correct eye. Thank you. So continued prayer for Marie Hundley. Yesterday was her birthday. And you were saying, Donna, that the days are just long and arduous, or doesn't feel good. Okay. Get agitated and worried. Okay. So prayer for Marie to get to a better place, I guess. Instead of just being tired of sick and tired. You all know how that goes sometimes. Sarah. So Sarah's lifting up her former coworker, Alyssa. We prayed off and on for her, the former teacher, former coworker that has recurrent, seemingly never-ending bone cancer. Alyssa has decided to not pursue treatments anymore, but to just be in God's hands. So continued prayer for her, and praise for her mother-in-law, her husband's mom, who still is volunteering a lot at the school where Sarah's teaching. So that could be a hard thing. Anybody else? Something to share? Fred. Prayer for Stan Marble and safe traveling mercies. We will be having a big Marble family get together tomorrow, and so we don't always get to see Stan. And it's going to be a blessing for him to be here. Bill. Yeah. Many of you know Jeff has been on this 7-year track to get his Masters of Divinity. And if you want to know what a doctoral program is like, it's easier than a Masters of Divinity. Let me tell you that. I mean, you go out and get a PhD, and that don't mean nothing compared to getting to a Master's of Divinity, let me tell you. It is a hard road, and I admire my cousin for that. I really do. And so he's coming to the end of that road, and he's made it through with a huge reconstruction on his right leg or left leg. I'm trying to remember which one. The right ankle. It's been a big reconstructive process. And he's now been given a clear bill of health, praise God. So he's good to go. Anybody else? Continued prayer for Camp White Branch. I don't know how many in this room have ever had their lives affected by it, but mine has been profoundly. And so prayer for Camp White Branch, that the wildfires all around can be contained, that the firefighters can be safe, and that we can return to camping and retreating there as priorly planned. Oh, yeah. Just prayer for all the wildfires to get them under control. Absolutely. There's lots of them north of the border, in our state, everywhere. Yep. I think we were spared that possibility last night with all that lightning. Anybody else? All right, let's go together as a church family. Father, Lord, thank you for being God Almighty. God all-knowing, ever-present. Always righteous, always just, always trustworthy, always loving, and ready to forgive and restore. Thank you for your supreme ethic being love, that we are always welcome, no matter where or when, to come to you and say, help. Lord, we come to you asking for many things today, for health in our membership, Lord, for Carolyn Marble, for Marie Hundley, for a former co-worker, Alyssa. Many things that we have need of your attention, Lord, for Wink's left eye. Lord, we praise you for Jeff Marble and his return to health. Lord, we praise you for taking care of what are seemingly mundane things in the lives of your children. But a green card is not mundane. Thank you, Lord, for moving hands to make that happen. Lord, we ask that you put your hand of protection over all children as they all return to school this week, over teachers, counselors, principals, other staff members on special assignments. Put your angels of mercy in front of each and every one. Make straight their paths and protect them for your name's sake. Lord God, we just praise you for the rain we had last night. And we thank you for the sky show we got to have with it. And thank you for the protection of no fires, but to see your mighty handiwork and know you are God. We know the keeper of the rain, and we trust him to make it fall on the just and the unjust. Thank you, Lord, that is you. Lord, we praise you for many things you are doing in our lives, things we don't even see, answers to prayers that are coming we don't even know. And we walk in anticipation of the greatness you will show us and work through us to others. Use us as a conduit of your love, your grace, your mercy, your righteousness, and as appropriate, your justice. Thank you, God. And now we lift up our leaders in this nation, Lord, local, state, and federal. Holy Spirit, stand at the door of the hearts of each and every one. Knock loudly. Get them to open their door to their heart and allow you to impart your wisdom. Lord, bring your wisdom and righteousness to all of our leaders, that they would bring about policies and laws that benefit all and allow your great love to shine. Restore this nation to being a shiny city on a hill. Bring revival to our land. In your name we pray. Amen. One more praise. Yes. Fourth buyer actually worked out. Praise God. Yep, Tony Marble's house finally is sold. All right, I think we got some kids in the house. Any kids want to come up and sing a song, right? We got a song? I see. I know. Any 50-year-old kids in this house? I'm almost there. Oh, stand up and shout it. Can you shout, Bubba?
Give me hands.
Stand up and shout it.
These are my
hands. Is there children's church today? I think maybe we don't have it today. I'm not sure. Okay, all right, no children's church. But come here, Bubba. Let's sing a song.
Come on.
Remember, what do you say? Oh. Oh. Landon, what's the right thing to say? Say, oh, bummer. Say, oh, bummer. Oh, bummer. Okay. You guys ready? Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Stand up and shout it if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my Lord. Sit down and whisper if you love my Jesus. Sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my Lord. Stand up and shout it if you love my Jesus. Sit down and whisper if you love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know if you love my Lord. Good job, guys. Dear Lord, thank you for the future and hope you have given in these children. We have no legacy except that which you instill in them. So let us be faithful with our words and our deeds to show them who you are every day and every way for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Let's go sit down.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's been a long time since I've seen some of my friends here. I'm glad to be back. It's been a whole month since we were last together. Before my hiatus, Sister Vicky, before my hiatus, we were in the Book of Romans. And so Paul taught us about freedom in Christ and how God did the heavy lifting to save us and reconcile us back to himself through his eternal love for us. Remember the things that Paul taught us? We also talked about God living in believers and that even creation groans. It longs for the day of Christ's return. So today we're going to be in chapter 12, where Paul presents the idea that our bodies are the vehicle for worship. So that's our topic today, our bodies, our worship. So you can follow along with me or read in whatever translation that you prefer, Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, verse 6 says, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Amen to God's word. So, I'm not really sure when verse 2 became one of my favorite verses. It's a long time ago, I just remember teaching it, preaching it, talking about it time and again with anyone who would listen, pretty much. Maybe because it's a practical way of explaining God's expectations of the believer. You know, some people, like, you can be really super theological and you want to explain God away, or all the things, you get real doctriney about stuff. But this, Paul's like, no. Stop all that. Just look at what God is asking you to do. It's very practical. So I think that's probably why I like it. When we get to chapter 12, Paul is building his conclusion based on what he's argued through the first 11 chapters, right? He begins this chapter by saying, because of God's extraordinary love, remember, he's talked about it all the way along through. Because of God's extraordinary love, it only makes sense that we respond to God's love by living out our faith in our human bodies. I know some people, you're like, yeah, but that's so simple. Aren't we supposed to be doing something special and super spiritually? Yeah, no. He just says, live like you know who God is. And that means living it out in your body. So part of living out our faith is worship. And for many of us, when we think of worship, the mind goes right away to what we were doing just a few moments ago. Singing songs. You read some scripture. You say some prayers, right? You meditate on God's word. For most people, when you say worship, that's exactly where they go. But what Paul is presenting is that worship is a lifestyle. It's not about coming to church on Sunday and doing the thing. It's about how you're living every single day, all day, 24/7, 365 plus 366 when it's leap year. All the things. So he says, worship is not just your songs. It's not just your prayers. It's actually how you live every day. How you show up for your neighbors. How you show up for yourself. So then the question becomes, well, then how do we do that, Paul? What does that look like? Because again, he's a practical dude. Show us what that looks like practically in our everyday life. How in the world do we honor God with our physical bodies? When we are spiritual beings, He saved our souls. What does that have to do with our physical body? So Paul gives us examples. He tells us God will show up in us in our mindset and in the sharing of our gifts. We'll talk next week about how God shows up in our lives when we love others, because that's another major way of worshiping God and showing others who God is. But today we're going to focus on our mindset and the sharing of our gifts. So the first lesson, all about our mindset. let's reread the beginning. This is what he says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the first thing that Paul is saying, he makes this distinction between the old way of sacrifice and the new way of sacrifice. So as a believer, you're still bringing something to God. You're still sacrificing something to him. But in the Old Testament, it was an actual animal. It could be turtle doves. It could be the unblemished lamb. Whatever it was for the particular offering that you were doing. But that's Old Testament. That's the old covenant. That's the old promise. In the new, now that Jesus has come on the scene, he is the perfect sacrifice. God is still requiring us to sacrifice our lives for him. So in the new covenant, it's about our hearts. It's about our will. Are you willing to sacrifice your will and give that to God? That's how he changes the mindset. So this is what Paul means by being a living sacrifice. For we are very much alive. We are not dead like the animals of the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. Paul points out to us we are no longer tied to the ritual for ritual's sake, but we are free to live for God. Remember, he talked about that earlier. Come out of that stuff. He set you free, so you're no longer bound to the laws. You're actually, it's not a list of don'ts, it's what you get to do for God. You're going to live for him. You're turning your will over to his, not being selfish anymore. Free to live for God. So then that leads to Paul's argument for a changed mindset. You can't get there unless you allow God to actually change your mind, to actually help you change your own will and give it over to him. We're not tied to ritual for ritual's sake, but we're giving up our hearts. And so this is a very practical advice for how we can show others that God is real and alive in us. Paul says, stop acting and thinking like the world does. Now, I know you're a good Christian. You're like, I don't act like the world. Oh, okay. There's a lot of things influencing you that you don't recognize. And you may say to yourself, no, that's not me. I really am a follower of Christ. Yes, you are a follower of Christ. And sometimes the world creeps into your life in ways that you may not recognize. But if we keep following the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to work in our hearts, he will reveal those things that are not godly. And you'll realize, oh, yeah, maybe I need to stop doing that. I need to change my habits, change my mind about how I'm going to proceed with things, change my decision-making, change how I feel, my perspective on certain things, because the Holy Spirit is working within you to teach you new and more things. If you belong to God, your life should show it. And when we follow God, he literally changes our minds. We no longer live for ourselves. We exchange our individual will for that of God's. And you remember that Jesus prayed that. Remember, he got to the end. All his life, he was saying, okay, God, I'm here to do what you called me to do. And he would go away and pray and get empowered by the Spirit and go and do miracles and preach and teach. Grew up disciples to follow and really know who God is. But when the time finally came, he sat there in that garden praying, thinking, you know, God, is there a different way we could do this? because I'm thinking there's got to be a different way. And after praying and toiling for a while, he says, well, if this is the way it needs to be, God, if this is really your will, then so be it. He taught us to do that very thing. Sometimes in our lives, we're like, really, God? We're like, Landon, come on. Really? Yeah, really. God needs to use you in this instance. He's choosing to use us wherever we are. And we need to recognize that. We need to pump the brakes. Because it's natural. You're going to be in your feelings in the beginning, like, what? But then realize, look for opportunity. Say, oh, well, Lord, what are you up to? What am I supposed to be doing right now? We need to do like Jesus and go, okay, I don't like this, but if this is really what it's going to take to get your will to be done and not mine, then so be it. But it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to move in our hearts and literally change our mindset so that we're no longer living our lives for our own sake, but we're living our lives for God's sake. New King James Translation says this. This is how I memorized it growing up. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Once we trust God, he gives us a new way of thinking. Indeed, a new way of being. So how does he do it? Through the work of the Spirit. That's the Spirit's role. The Spirit that lives in us is God himself. And the Spirit teaches us and helps us replace our old ways of being with those that reflect God. So this is where the sacrifice comes in. I'm living daily for God, not for me. I want to reflect more of who God is. And there are three main ways that we allow the Spirit to work in our lives. Remember, we've talked about this before. If you're a believer and you really want God to be in your life and you want to reflect who he is, you're going to be praying. You have to practice prayer. There's no way around it. We also need to be reading God's word. You can't know who God is if you don't sit down and get to know him. Just like you got to know any of your friends. How did you get to know them? You spent time with them. And it doesn't matter what that time looked like for your human friends. Sometimes it was shopping. Sometimes it was camping. Sometimes it was at work, just striking up conversation. But you got to know them by spending time. We have to do the same thing with God. Spend time reading his word so that his Spirit can work in us, reveal what he is saying as he speaks to us. Another way is living in Christian community. This is where fellowship comes in. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you before. But when I was chaplain, I had a very strange question posed to me. A gentleman asked me, "Chaplain, can you be a Christian and live by yourself?" I was like, huh? What do you mean? He was like, not like in your own apartment, live by yourself. He meant like being a hermit, moving out into the wilderness and living by yourself. And I thought, what an interesting question. Tell me more. So he went on and was telling me, and I thought, yeah, no, you can't be Christian by yourself. God created us to be in community. And so to be Christian means you're living with others and you're letting your light shine. Who are you letting your light shine to in the wilderness? The animals don't need salvation. God sent his son for human beings. Now, all of creation will be restored when Jesus returns, but they don't need to be saved and in relationship like human beings do. So, yeah, for those of you who think, oh, I can just go and live by myself and I believe in God and I'm just going to live my own little life. Not accurate, biblically speaking, because God expects you to be in community where you're learning from others, you're rubbing off on others, you're iron sharpening iron. You're praying for them. They're praying for you. You're challenging them. They're challenging you to be better, to do better. So you can't really live in isolation and call yourself a Christian. Now, there are exceptions, right? People who are bedridden, they don't get to get up and come to church and be a part of a community that way. But there's other ways of being a part of a community. Even bedridden folks can be praying for their congregation. Even bedridden folks can send prayers and send cards and encourage others. So there's a way. God expects us to be in community. So prayer, reading his word, being in Christian community. And as we study God's word and listen to his voice, when we pray, we become more and more like God because you understand God's mind. You know, we look at and we judge people, and as the Spirit works in us, we go, oh, I see now. I understand better. So now I need to be nicer and kinder instead of jumping to conclusions when I'm working with other people. We have to spend time in his word or we won't grow in Christ. And I know, yeah, you can be saved. I'm not saying that you won't be saved. I'm saying you're not going to grow up in Christ like you should. You're not going to mature in Christ like you should when you don't study, when you don't pray, and you're not living in Christian community. There's just no substitute for that. The enemy of our souls likes to speak lies to us when we're alone and when we're feeling down. The way to overcome him is to quote scripture back to him to refute his lies. And that's what Jesus did. Remember? Jesus was tempted by the enemy, and that's how he overcame him, by quoting scripture to him. You all recall the account. It's actually recorded in two places. It's in Matthew 4. It's also in Luke 4. Jesus had to correct the devil and set him straight. Because, you know, this is what the enemy does. He knows the word. He knows the word of God. He's been around here longer than we have. So trust me, he knows the word. But what the enemy does is he gives you half of the truth, half of the story. And sometimes not even half, just a few words. So then you're like, oh yeah, it does say that in the Bible. Yeah, but he ain't reading the whole sentence. Okay, so this is where we have to do our homework, Sister Susan. We got to know the whole sentence. And not just the sentence, what's the context? What's the stuff before it and after it? And then what is it contextually in the whole of the Bible? Because if you get one little sentence, you can run away with it. But it actually doesn't mean with what you're running away with it. And that's how the enemy tricks us, because I know the word of God. Yeah, you've memorized words. It doesn't mean you actually have an understanding. And it's actually in your heart and you know what to do with that. We've got to be good students and get an understanding, not just be familiar with it or memorize it, but not truly understand it. So Jesus has to correct the enemy because he comes to him with half-truths. So listen to what he does. He says to him, because, you know, at one point the devil says, oh, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus is like, see, Let me pump the brakes right here. No. We don't live solely off of human food, but we live off of the spiritual food, which is none other than God's holy word. So he says, yeah, it says that, but no, you're quoting it incorrectly. I can't just live off of the physical food. I am a spiritual being, and so I need to know God's word. So if we want to beat the enemy when he comes around, because he will, he doesn't give up. He comes back again and again and again. Just keep living. You'll see what I'm talking about. We must know God's word. And knowing God's word also teaches us what God really wants from us. We've talked about this before, how too many of us believers are stuck in bondage to the law. And Paul even talks about it, not here in Romans, but in other places, about how he, as a Pharisee, just focused. He was so narrow-minded about the law and keeping every yote and tittle, which is what we call dotting the I's and crossing the T's, right? So you focus on the don'ts. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Oh, I'm a good Christian. No, that's actually not what makes you a good Christian. Because what happens when you have that mindset is you're worried about proving to God that you're righteous, and you're also worried about teaching other people just how bad they are. Because I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. So I'm very holy. And so then you go around making other people feel bad because they do drink. They do smoke. They do listen to other types of music. Does that make them less Christian or not Christian? Well, by your standards, they're saying that they're not. Well, they don't go to Gales Creek. So clearly they're not true believers. Really? Is that what the Bible says? Because I don't remember seeing that in scripture. That's how people act. Because their mindset is all about the rules and performing and wanting to get an A+. We heard that Brother Jeff got a 4.0. He got all A's for his classes. We're worried about having all A's with God. So you're obsessed with the don'ts. But God is saying, that's actually not what I want from you. I want to have a relationship with you. So it's not about the don'ts. It's about the do's. Are you loving everybody? Are you patient with others? Are you forgiving others? How are you showing up for the people around you? So Paul says, don't get caught up in that. When we become concerned with telling everybody else how they should behave and how they should act, we're forgetting that God wants all of us to emulate Christ, to follow his example, and to be more like God. Not to be more like me or to be more like her or to be more like him, to actually be like Jesus, to actually be like God. And this is why Paul urges us to not think more highly of ourselves than we really are. I can't stress that enough. Stop thinking that you're all that in a bag of chips. Because you're not. You're not. It's easy to point out the flaws of others around us and ignore our own flaws. Who, me? I'm perfect. I don't have any problems. Okay, right. If you're human, you are not perfect. Paul says to measure ourselves against God's ruler, which is the word of God. So stop comparing yourself to the people around you and go to the word. What does the word of God say? What does the Bible say about A, B, and C? And stop trying to outdo the people around you because they don't matter. God's not going to judge you because of what sister so-and-so did or what sister brother and brother so-and-so didn't do. He's going to talk to you about you. It has nothing to do with the other people. Not in that regard. What did you do with what I gave you? How are you showing up in this world that I created? When you know better, that's what he's going to be talking to you about. Not about how you did better than the others around you. You must remember that the word became flesh. So as we study God's word, we recognize we're reading, we're meditating on it, and also Jesus is the very word of God brought to life. So he modeled before us the relationship that God is looking to have with us. So we follow his example. And this, again, this is how God changes our minds. He changes our very hearts so that we think differently, we understand better, and we continue to grow up in him. We move from being our old self-centered person to becoming a God-centered person in everything that we say and do. If we really believe in God, our actions, our words should align with that, should match that. It's really, really hard. And this is why people, you know, again, why some people quit church and they don't like being around us believers, because we're hypocritical. We say we believe in God, and yet we treat the people around us like they're garbage. And that's not okay. It just isn't okay. We have to stop being judgmental. Stop it. Just stop. When you want to say something, pause and think, should I really be saying that? Why do I want to say that? Is it necessary to say it? Is there a different, if you come down the list and say, yeah, I really do need to say it, then Lord, help me to find the right words to say it. Because the Bible teaches us to speak the truth, but speak it in love. You shouldn't just be charging at the people, blah, 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 giving them a piece of your mind. It's not effective. It's not going to land the way that you really want it to. Versus if you find out, oh, I need to tell so-and-so this thing. Okay, Lord, help me. How do I say it? What are the words? Is there a scripture, God? Show me. Because he will reveal it. He will work with you. He will help the person who is hearing your words, even though they may be imperfect, he'll soften their heart so that they can receive it. But if you just want to be right, taking chances, and it may not work out the way you want it to. We got to be God-centered in everything we say and we do. So now, evidence of our changed minds is reflected in how we live in community with other believers. So that goes to Paul's second point in this passage. He says, it's how we use and share our gifts. This is our worship to God. Now, it might be hidden to some of us, so I'm going to call it out now and make Paul's point plain in case someone's missing it. When you read this passage, Paul says we belong to each other. Why? Because we are all are a part of God's body. All of us who believe and name the name of Christ, we're part of God's body. The physical body has many parts, Paul argues, and it is so in God's body, many parts, yet all very important and needed. There's nothing in the physical body that's not needed. We may forget about certain parts, like the pinky toe till you stub it, and you're like, ooh. Or even your pinky or your thumb. It's hard to grip things and to do the things that we do if we didn't have thumbs. It's possible, but it's so much harder if you don't have it. We forget and we take for granted some of those body parts. And Paul is trying to teach us, don't do that. Remember whose you are. You might be that pinky toe, but you are still vital to helping that body keep proper balance. That's why God gave us those 10 digits down there. It actually helps us stay balanced. Ask people who don't have toes, who are missing some. It's a challenge. They could still walk. They could still do things, but it's harder. Why? Because they're missing some toes. So God is saying to us, every single person matters. And so here's the implication of that revelation. We rely on one another and we affect each other. Why? Because we don't live unto ourselves. And I know you're like, oh no, I have my own life. I do what I want to do with my life. No one can tell me. Yeah, right. That works probably out in the world, but not when it comes to the body of Christ. We actually affect each other We rely on one another. Why? Because remember, we're living in community. We're not just a bunch of individuals doing our individual thing. We actually have come together as the body of Christ. And so we're working together. We don't live unto ourselves. The world has taught us to be lone wolves, to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and to honor individualism above all else. Let me tell you, people, that is not of God. It is not of God. You've probably been raised in that. You need to be stand up and be your own woman and be your own man and do these things. Yeah, okay. That doesn't mean we don't have to work. It doesn't mean I don't have to take on responsibilities for myself. But I am not alone in this work because I'm a part of a community who needs me, who needs my contributions, and I need the community. You don't live by yourself. There is no such thing as a lone wolf when it comes to human beings. It's a lie from the enemy that humans keep on perpetuating by telling themselves that they don't need anybody else and expecting it of the people around them. Oh, you don't need that. Who cares about that? Just do what you want to do. No, there are consequences for just doing what you want to do. You better be looking at those and taking that into account when your friends tell you to just do whatever. Be very careful with that advice. Be very careful. No one lives alone. Even like going back to the gentleman in the Air Force who asked me about being a hermit and being a believer of God. Even as a hermit, you didn't get there by yourself. Okay, it takes a man and a woman to create a baby. And then they raised you and they taught you. They taught you how to speak. They taught you to walk. They taught you all the things. They even taught you, somebody taught you how to build a house. I mean, unless you're going to be in a tent while you're out in the wilderness for however many years. But you had to learn all those things while you were in community. So you, even as a hermit, you didn't just get there by yourself. You had to be in community and then choose to go out and be by yourself. Nature has it. Even all of the animals, plant kingdom, are in community. So again, you can't be alone. You can, but that's not the way God planned it. We're in community because that's the way God created us. And you don't have anything that you have because you've done it all by your lonesome. I know you might like to tell that story. I'm a self-made person. There's no such thing as a self-made person. Just letting you know, you can't make yourself. Everything that you have, everything that you know is a result of the people who have gone before you and ultimately a result of God. It has nothing to do with you being oh so special. It's because of the human beings around you, and you need to understand that. It took other human beings around you to help you get what you have. You had to learn from them. And we must not worship what we have, whether that's your education, your job, your house, the whatever. You name the possession. Remember to give credit to God who gave us all the things. Because ultimately, they come from God. And I know you went to school, you did the time, you did the learning, whatever. So you're thinking, I did this. It is only because of God's favor. It is only because of God's grace that you have what you have. So remember that. Remember that. Dr. Israel Kamudanzu is the Associate Professor of New Testament Studies at St. Paul School of Theology in Missouri. And he argues that Paul is calling the church to abandon the sin of individualism and to embrace the cross-cultural Christian life and to live humbly. So listen to what he says. I really like this, what he says about Romans chapter 12. Listen, in third world countries, humility is often a daily posture. Those who struggle to feed their families, send their kids to school, afford clean water, maintain a farm, they see God in their daily vulnerabilities. Alternatively, the so-called first world nations, such as the USA, the so-called first world nations seem to take God for granted, easily becoming blinded by affluence, political smartness, academic achievement, and striving for the American dream while failing to appreciate God's provisions of these blessings. Instead of being thankful to God, first world Christians risk worshiping God's blessings instead of worshiping God, the source of true life. I know. Let that not be us. Let that not be us. That's why I say it's so easy to think that we're not influenced by our culture, but we are. So be careful of how we are letting the culture guide us when we need to be affecting change on the very culture in which we live. And just as Paul said, don't think too highly of yourself, I would also argue don't think too lowly of yourself. Don't think, oh, I'm just a pinky toe. Nobody cares. Nobody needs me. We need you. We need you. We need to recognize the gifts that God has given us, and we need to humbly offer that to our congregation and to the world. That's how we worship. So we believers must role model for the rest of the world what it means to be human. That is, to live in community and to uplift the people around us. As believers, we recognize that God created us in his image to live in community with one another. Living in community means taking care of one another and not blaming others for their situation. I hear this all the time at work. We need to stop judging and actually be helpful. Well, if they would just get a job, if they would just do this, if they would just do that. Okay, that's easy for you to say because you're not in that situation. But the more wisdom and the more information and more data you have, you realize, oof, that's easier said than done. that's actually way more complicated than just going and getting a job. It's way more complicated than that. So help, the Holy Spirit can help us to stop being judgmental and actually help us to be helpful. God taught his people Israel in Micah 6:8. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. To keep the Ten Commandments? No. To do what is right. To love mercy. To walk humbly with your God. That's what God is looking for in our life, in our daily worship, our bodies, our worship. Paul also reminds us that we are not more important than anyone else. It doesn't matter what your gift is. And as I said before, you're also we're not the least among us. Everybody is important. And everybody has inherent value to God. And because you're valuable to God, I don't care what age you are, male, female, whatever. Some people have more ability than others. We are all still valuable in God's eyes. That's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. That's what it means to be created in his very image. Even those who are non-believers are valuable to God. So Paul says to us, do whatever it is you're doing as unto the Lord himself. Share your gift without seeking return and grudgingly, no matter what that gift is. If it's prophecy, encouraging others, generosity, leadership, or kindness, that's just to name a few. Share your God-given gift because God loves you and because you love him. Sharing your gifts is an act of worship. It's one way of reflecting God's love. It's how he expects us to show up when living in community with one another and living in the broader community of the world in which we live. So, our takeaways for today. is that true worship goes beyond our gathering at church. It goes beyond our prayers, our songs, our reading of scripture. Our physical body is the tool for worship. And true worship is witnessed in our daily life, the changing of our very minds, our wills, by God's Holy Spirit, and by sharing our God-given gifts. So I want to close with a quote. Dr. Elizabeth Shively lectures regularly at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. She's a New Testament professor. And this is what she says about chapter 12. Looking at the first two verses, we might conclude that worship is adequately performed through our corporate liturgy, the preaching, and the music. These practices are not wrong, but they do not reach far enough. For Paul, worship is full-bodied. It happens in community as we live out our faith, are serving one another to build up the body of Christ. Listen to this. The quality of our worship is not measured by what happens only on Sunday mornings or Wednesday evening, but what happens when we're together Monday through Saturday. Amen to what Dr. Elizabeth has to say, because she is just saying what the Word of God says. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for giving us your word. It is truly a gift. And sometimes we forget just how precious it is. Written thousands of years ago on papers that are disintegrated. And yet we've managed to translate it into different languages to get it all across the globe so that we could understand who you are and how we are of value to you. Thank you for that. I pray now, Lord God, those who are listening to the sound of my voice, that this word will penetrate in their hearts and change not only their minds, but change their very spirit, change their very deep soul. Help us, God, to use our gifts to build your kingdom for your glory, not for our own, but for your glory. And we thank you for doing it. Thank you for all of your provisions, all the things that you do for us, giving us food, giving us clothing, giving us housing, giving us transportation, giving us a reasonable portion of health. There are many prayers about healing that we need, and yet you have given us life for one more day. We thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your word and to go from this place being used by you in our daily life, in the simple things, giving you glory and giving you honor. We thank you, God. In your precious name we pray it. Amen. All right, let's close with a song, and then we'll come back with the benediction. And actually, as the part of the benediction, we'll pray over the food so that when we get to the fellowship hall, we can dig in. And thank you for all the hands that have made this all possible.
Right, we're going to stand and we're going to close with Joy Unspeakable.
I found God's grace is grown complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told.
The half has never yet been told. There's so many things. You know, when I read those words, I think, oh, yes. I mean, just think about all of our individual lives, how God has shown up in our lives. the half hasn't been told. We don't even know all of the inner workings that God has done in our individual lives. That's how wonderful and amazing He is. So my challenge for you this week is to listen to that Holy Spirit in your heart. He may prompt you to just share, not your whole life story, but some small piece that'll encourage someone else, that'll water the seeds that have already been planted by another, that'll bring someone to faith. Let's remember those words, the half that's never been told. But you can tell your story to someone else. So as we go from this place, know that God is still with you. We won't see each other physically, but He is with each of us. So go, my dear brother, my dear sister, my siblings in Christ. Shine your lights for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray for the blessing of our food. Thank you, God, for all that you have provided. We know that it is already blessed. So we pray for a blessing on those who have labored a labor of love. They have gathered things together. They have made the tables and the chairs and cooking the food and welcoming us into a space where we can be in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless them, Lord God. Bless our food. Bless our time of fellowship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Until we meet again, God's grace and peace be with you.
Have fun.